Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles, a business strategy podcast where we provide insight to those looking for creative, executable strategies built around the latest disruptive ideas, innovative cultures, product creators, and marketing solutions. Today in the Visionary Chronicles, we're going to talk about vision. You know, when we talk about vision and those who say they have vision, I always like to use the term, just because you can see does not mean you have vision. What it effectively means and what we'll talk about today is that the vision of a company, you know, what does this look like and how do you set your path and stay the course? You know, establishing this vision of what the company stands for, the culture inside of your company. All of these are components of a vision of traditionally the visionary leader. But as we know, a lot of times the vision of a leader goes away when the leader goes away. There's many companies, large cap, small cap, whatever it happens to be, that once they've set that path, they don't stay on course. And many times it leads to the failure of the company, no matter how successful they've been in the past. So establishing a vision for your brand is difficult. It's very, very hard. Some people may just have a line to say, this is what we stand for, this is our culture. But unless you have a commitment, both internally and externally, through the entire team and the bloodline of that company, it does not become a vision or an executable vision that people can tangibly see and feel as they're part of the company. And in this environment that we're in today, the ability for a company to establish a vision, commit to it, be authentic about it, is one where they have no problem finding team members to want to join that vision and be a part of it, help the company to execute that in the marketplace. So it becomes an integral part of a company's success. And one of the first things I talk about, and one of the things I have in common with Liquid Mind is both startups through large cap companies, but I ask the same question. It's very interesting. I'll ask leaders of both levels, you know, what is your vision for this company? What do you think people's outside perception is of your company? Do you think that matches the vision that you have internally? The culture that you built, the culture that you've established with the team members inside of your brand and company. And so, again, establishing that vision for your brand is extremely difficult. Those that are just on the startup phase are trying to define who they are, who they want to be when they grow up. And then you've got the large caps that have defined who they are, but they're trying to figure out who they want to be in the future. So sticking to that authentic foundational principles of your vision as a brand is extremely important. And there are principles that we talk about all the time, whether it's through the Visionary Brand, the book I just released, or through principles that we talk about through this Visionary Chronicles podcast. It's something that I stay consistent with on everything that we talk about. And so when we put up on the board and we talk to those who want to have a vision for their company, and more often than not with large companies, it's these new leaders that come in where we have to talk with them about what is this vision you have for the company? Is it different than the culture that's already been established? Is it different than what the company from an outside standpoint and a community and culture perspective looks like? So establishing, again, that vision is difficult. But the other part of that is sticking with that vision is nearly impossible for most companies. You know, there are circumstances that come up over the years, through the generations, ups, downs, recessions, COVID, whatever it may be. There's all kinds of natural disasters as well as personal disasters and company disasters that come along. And your ability to stick to your path, stick to your vision of what you want this company to be, what you want it to achieve, and how you want it to be perceived is critical to your success. So that's where it lies the difference between companies that have generational long-term successes, the Nikes of the world, the Adidas, the Pumas that was resurrected is a great story of a brand that lost itself and lost its vision and then was able to recapture and regain that vision that they had previously from the startup of Puma. That's a very rare situation where you've got a company that had great brand equity that was built up, had a great culture, had great positioning in the market, in market with a point of difference over its competition, and was a leader. And then lost that leadership, degraded brand equity, went through bankruptcy, and then revived itself. So I can count on my right hand how many companies that have actually been able to achieve that. And it's very, very rare and something that you at all costs want to try and avoid. So therein lies the difference between generational success and near-term failure, is the ability for you to establish a vision, stick with that vision, and being able to sustain that vision over generations. And what I find more often than not in the startup of companies is any little bump in the road, all of a sudden the vision becomes blurred. They don't remember what the original foundational structure and vision of the company was to be, much less how to execute it in the marketplace. So the inevitable fate of those who consistently and continually execute on that vision is generational success. For those that do not, unfortunately, they become part of the rubble that makes up 95% of all startups failure. So the ability for you to define that vision and be able to stick with that vision is critical. So as the visionary behind your brand, you must create a culture, a passionate culture around the vision that you've set for your company. The ability for you to set that vision and have all inside of those four walls contribute to a success is also critical. So you want the entire team to feel as if they're contributing to the success of your vision, a unified vision of a longer-term future for your brand. Even more importantly is those outside of your wall, those that are purchasing your product. As Ralph Lauren so famously said, is that, hey, we're not selling a product, we're selling a lifestyle. You know, everybody can make polos, everybody can make pants, but it's the lifestyle, the marketing, the vision, the culture that you're building around that product that makes you different. People want to be part of that lifestyle. So having that vision has to not only include just product, but it has to include what you want that lifestyle to look like. How are you making people's lives easier? How are you saving them time? So this goes beyond product. It's selling a lifestyle that's better than they've had before. So this is very difficult, and most leaders fail to execute on that plan and see the vision come to life. And this lifeblood can take on many forms. It can take on a form of being more efficient from an operational perspective. It can be making better products, better functional services, things that make people's life better or more efficient or save them time in this busy lifestyle everybody's in on a daily basis. And this vision also is executing and seeing the future. You know, an example is in a McKinsey study in 2018 that found that and this is 2018 when you're thinking this is when transitional technology is happening at hyper speed. And in 2018, they found only 16% of the companies were committed to digital transformation. This is a vision of the company long term, is that in order for you to be more effective, provide tools to your team to move them beyond the competition, you need to have digital effectiveness and implementation and tools that help them succeed in their role, whether it's accounting or whether it's design. All of these are part of digital transformation. But in 2018, they found 16% of companies were committed to digital transformation. You know, this is a necessary piece of a strategic puzzle for both being effective and efficient and a market-driving brand. You know, you cannot be a market-driving brand if you don't command leadership in all areas of your company. So when you're setting this vision and the path and staying on that course, make sure that when you're putting up on the whiteboard all the areas that you want to be the leader in your category, don't forget, it's not just product. It's not just design. It's not just marketing. It is also operations, accounting, finance, whatever it happens to be. Be best in class in everything that you do. So when you're setting that vision, don't be so narrow-minded and focused around being the best in your product or being the best in your services. Understand, the ability for you to service your market is as important as the product itself. Many of us have had to deal with that on the customer service side. You love the product, you love the brand, but hate the customer service. You hate that you have to wait in line. You hate that you can't talk to somebody personally. So that's customer service, not product, but it affects the company and the vision as a whole. So make sure you're addressing that. So when you look at, you know, how do these companies execute this vision? You know, what do these visionary leaders create on their path to successfully navigating that course to executing the brand vision? So there's a couple points I had. Now, there's many of these, but I felt that there's just some key points and principles that not a lot of people think about. And I want to refresh their memories or your memories on some of these things that you want to think about as you're setting your path and you're staying on course to your vision. You know, the first, which I thought is great, and I'm going to connect it to Steve Jobs. I just love this one here. It's connect the dots. You know, it goes back to what Steve was saying on his vision of, you know, just connect the dots. You know, Steve so famously said it's a matter of connecting the dots as you move along your path. And what he means by that is that understand that everything is interconnected. And I'll extend it even further is that not only are the products interconnected, the technology is interconnected, but everything inside of your company is interconnected. And one breakdown within a functional group or timing or calendar or schedule, whatever it happens to be, is a breakdown in the overall system of being effective, efficient, and also market driving brand or company. So make sure you're addressing all of those areas. I say connect the dots inside the entire company and make sure you're best in class in all. And so when you look at these leaders, they have a structured path, usually driven annually, connected through near-term action plans and accountability through tools and proper resource allocation. That's many times I see as well is that these great brands, as soon as there's a hiccup, whether it be revenue drop, quarterly drop, it's a temporary solution to a long-term problem. And what happens is more often than not is a reduced either resource allocation, reduce investment on future technology, whatever it happens to be, but it affects the vision of the long-term company and the ability to execute that vision in the marketplace. So never lose sight of connecting those dots and what's important and what's not important to that company. And then the second is probably more about product, but I wanted to extend it into all areas of the company. You know, embrace the freedom to fail is number two. What I mean by that is people think of embrace the freedom to fail, which I talk about a lot, relentlessly I talk about it, is that embrace the freedom to fail on product, on design, whatever it happens to be, have this ideation strategy around your company. I think that's great. But what I want to make sure of that people understand is that have accounting. Embrace the freedom to fail. You know, if they've got ideas of how to make that system better, operations, logistics, sourcing. All of these areas are opportunities to fail. You know, how do we become more efficient at sourcing? You know, especially when you look at COVID and how people were caught off guard, where many times we talk with our mid and large cap companies where they say we're caught off guard by our sourcing strategy. Well, you know what? You should have been addressing that before COVID. So address it now. And many that were very proactive in the very beginning of COVID are now doing extremely well in all the areas that were weak before COVID. So COVID was just a push for them to be able to execute on those things that were effectively weaknesses before COVID. So embrace the freedom to fail, encourage ideas, allow for the freedom to express how others' lives can be enhanced with our products or services. You know, never downplay ideas until you've evaluated their potential impact. You may not see that light before it's too late. So many times people wait until they get run over to realize that was an opportunity to change. So make sure you don't get run over. You see the light, get off the track before it happens, and make sure you're implementing where there's an opportunity to do so. So embracing that freedom to fail. The third point is providing tools and support. I say this is such a critical thing, but it's so obvious to me and people when they look at it. Well, of course everybody's got a computer. Of course everybody's got internet accessibility. Of course everybody has the cloud-based computing and the ability to access files wherever they want. But there are a lot of weak points along that strategy of providing tools and support. I say support, that the tools are themselves a tool to be successful, but the support comes from the ability of those to manage those tools properly, meaning that keeping them up to date, making sure everybody's interconnected, making sure people are efficient in utilizing those tools. Implementing a tool for the sake of implementing a tool is not a strategy for success. So providing an environment for experimentation with great ideas, and again, great ideas across all functional areas of the company. The more you nurture this what I call this iterative process, you know, generating innovations and disruptive strategies, you know, the more tangible your innovation pipeline becomes. And I talk about this innovation pipeline is that having the ability to surf this pipeline for generations, and predominantly it's built around product, but it can also be something that you have a long-term commitment to tools that will help you be more efficient on the operations side, the logistics side. All of these are an opportunity to save money and become more efficient, more effective, and more profitable so you can provide more tools and more support back to the company. And again, I see so many companies being short-sighted when things turn south from a temporary standpoint instead of working through that temporary situation. Storms are always going to come along in your company and your brand. It's your ability to anticipate those storms, know what to do once those storms hit, that will allow you to come through them unscathed versus those where the house gets completely knocked down and they have to repair it again. So make sure that you're not caught short in each one of these areas, connecting the dots, embracing the freedom to fail across all levels inside of your organization, providing tools and support for those that need them on the creative side as well as in the functional areas. So setting your vision is more effortless than sticking with your vision. Meaning that, you know, people can, again, I go back to the beginning, is that people can set a vision and say they have a vision, but those are only words. Words are only as good as your ability to set a foundation that you stick to on a day-to-day basis that others and yourself are committed to. So be sure to have a process, both tangible and non-tangible, and where others know their expectations and all feel that they're part of that process to succeed as a brand and as a company. Want to thank you for joining us on the Visionary Chronicles podcast today. Really appreciate your time. I know you've got a million things going at you each day, but if you find the content useful, which I hope you do, and we've had great growth in response to the Visionary Chronicles podcast, that you would subscribe. We're available through almost every podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, iHeart, Pandora, Podbean, any of those sites. We would appreciate you subscribing. And as part of that subscription, you'll also receive exclusive content. And we also have premium service as well as a newsletter that we send out to those who are subscribers. So again, thank you for your time. We look forward to providing some additional great content on the next episode of the Visionary Chronicles podcast.